This audio is a reading of the popular level version of my paper titled God in the Flesh, How Jesus United Heaven and Earth in One Person. It offers a simplified overview of the two-ship analogy, designed to help everyday believers understand the profound mystery of how Jesus Christ can be both fully God and fully man, not as two persons but as one unified person with two natures. This is not a technical theological treatise, but an accessible guide that brings clarity to one of the most essential truths of the Christian faith. Please note, for smoother listening, some elements such as section headings, the appendix materials, and the full bibliography have been left out. To access those resources, I encourage you to read the full written version at defendtheword.com. A companion academic paper is also available for those who wish to explore this topic in greater depth. D. Gene Williams, Jr., Ph.D. Defend the Word Ministries North Point Church Introduction. The mystery we all feel. Have you ever wondered how Jesus could pray to God and be God at the same time? Or how he could be tired, tempted, and even learn things while also being the eternal Son of God who created the universe? These aren't just theological puzzles, they're questions at the heart of our faith. Jesus isn't fully God, he can't save us. But if he's not fully human, he can't represent us. So how does it all fit? For centuries, the church affirmed that Jesus is one person with two natures, fully divine and fully human, but left many questions unanswered. How do these natures work together? What's happening inside Jesus when he prays, suffers, or performs a miracle? That's where the integrated hypostatic union model IHUM and the two-ship analogy come in. They aren't new doctrines, they just help us see the beauty and logic behind what scripture and tradition already teach. One person, two natures. The early church rightly taught that Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully man. This is called the hypostatic union, two complete natures united in one person. But this left some deep questions open. How could Jesus be omniscient and still learn? How could he have two wills, divine and human, without conflict? Who's in the driver's seat when he's thinking, feeling, suffering, and acting? The Bible gives us moments where the mystery becomes especially intense, like Jesus sleeping in a storm, weeping at Lazarus' tomb, or sweating blood in Gethsemane. In these scenes, we're witnessing not a contradiction, but a deeper harmony. The two-ship analogy. Understanding Jesus from the inside, imagine Jesus' two natures like two ships, one divine, one human. Each has its own structure, steering, and energy system. But there's only one admiral, one captain at the helm steering both ships together. The divine ship is perfect, all-knowing, never tired. The human ship gets weary, hungers, learns, and even feels fear. But both are guided by the same admiral, Jesus, the eternal Logos, the Word, who unites both natures in his one consciousness. This image helps us make sense of what the Bible shows us. Jesus grows in wisdom, Luke 2 verse 52, but he also knows people's thoughts, John 2 verse 25. He's thirsty, John 19 verse 28, and yet offers living water, John 4 verse 10. He weeps, John 11 verse 35, and yet raises the dead. These aren't contradictions. They're revelations of how the divine and human operate together in one unified person. Consciousness, not conflicts. Some models of Jesus' inner life imagine him switching back and forth between divine and human modes, or having two separate minds like split screens. But that creates confusion and risks turning Jesus into two persons instead of one. The IHUM approach says something much simpler and more faithful. Jesus has two minds, one divine, one human, but only one center of consciousness, a single eye that knows and experiences both. That's why he can authentically learn and grow in his human mind while still being the eternal Son of God. The divine Logos didn't gain anything new in the incarnation. He already fully knew what it meant to be human. He simply manifested that knowledge in real time. The Garden of Gethsemane, a unified will. Perhaps the most moving moment in the Gospels is when Jesus prays in the garden. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Luke 22 verse 42, was this a divided Christ? A split between divine and human persons? No. This was the admiral allowing the full weight of the human ship to be felt and expressed. Jesus wasn't pretending to feel dread. He genuinely did. But his unified consciousness, the eternal Logos, chose to let the human will be tested, so that it could be seen submitted, not overridden. Why? To be an example. To show what it means to trust the Father's will even when your human nature trembles. When to speak, when to stay silent. The wisdom of divine communication. Another question people often ask is this: if Jesus was God, why didn't he always act like it? Why did he say he didn't know the day of his return, Mark 13 verse 32? Why did he sometimes ask questions he surely knew the answers to? The answer lies in the humility and mission of Jesus. Even though he possessed divine power and knowledge, he didn't always reveal everything he knew or do everything he could. Not because he lacked anything, but because he chose to communicate in a way we could understand and follow. This principle is like a teacher choosing not to give the answer right away, but instead walking with the student toward understanding. Jesus limited his expression of divine attributes on purpose, to fully enter into our human condition, not to fake it, but to faithfully live it. He wasn't hiding who he was. He was showing us who God is, humble, patient, and willing to meet us where we are. and he was never out of control. Every word he spoke, every miracle he performed, and every moment he remained silent was intentional, guided by the wisdom of the Logos. What he revealed at the right time. What he concealed for our sake. This is what some theologians refer to as divine accommodation, God expressing himself in ways that fit within our human limits. But it's more than just accommodation. It's a pattern of selective communication, grounded in love. And the reason he could limit his expression without limiting who he was? Because he never ceased to be the eternal Son, the one who knew everything, held everything, and governed everything, even while living within human weakness. The eternal now, the game changer. This is the concept that changes everything. God doesn't experience time the way we do. He isn't waiting for tomorrow or recalling yesterday. He sees all of history at once in what theologians call the eternal now. And that means this: the Logos didn't become aware of humanity at the incarnation. He has always known what it means to be human. So when we say Jesus became human, we're talking about a moment in time. But from God's perspective, the human experience was already eternally integrated into the divine Logos. That's how he could truly assume all of us, body, soul, mind, and yes, even the subconscious. Why it all matters, some models leave Jesus feeling distant or worse, divided. But the IHUM shows us something glorious. Jesus didn't toggle between divine and human. He didn't fake emotions. He didn't run on autopilot. He lived your life from the inside with full divine awareness and full human limitation in perfect unity. He didn't have to learn what it was like to be human. He is the eternal divine human. And that's not just good theology, it's the heartbeat of the gospel. Conclusion: the captain of our salvation, Jesus, didn't just come to earth to die for you. He came to become like you and do it perfectly. That means every tear, every fear, every temptation, and every joy you've ever experienced, he didn't just understand it. He knows it eternally and experiences it from the fullness of his divine human person. Here's the mind-shifting truth. Can you imagine every good and every painful feeling you've ever had being fully present right now? From God's eternal perspective, they are. In the eternal now, there is no past to recall or future to anticipate. There is only the perfect, all-encompassing present. God doesn't remember what it feels like to suffer or to rejoice. He knows, because those moments are always alive before him. They are never faded, never lost, never distant. This means Christ didn't just feel sorrow in Gethsemane once. He knows that sorrow as vividly now as he did then. He didn't just experience victory at the resurrection. He holds that triumph in perfect eternal fullness. The whole span of human experience, yours included, is present within his divine awareness. He is the admiral of heaven and earth, fully God and fully man, perfectly united in one person. He didn't steer clear of suffering, he steered into it. And he brought us through it to resurrection. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. This is our captain. This is our God,